The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, that didn't take long at all. I feel like I was just here. I was just here talking about Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, asking the Rangers fans, what happened? What's going on? Too much Instagram hockey. 888-808-1019. I mean, I was able to talk puck last night for the most part. A little 90-minute show after a crazy Monday night football game that we watched. At some point tonight, I will tell you why it does not matter that the Giants didn't draft Bo Nix. You were not saying that the first couple weeks of the season. You weren't saying that when Bo Nix and the Broncos came to MetLife Stadium in the rain and scored 10 points to beat the Jets. It's just now that we've gotten to this point in the season. Now that we've gotten to this point where you're literally looking at quarterbacks. I'm sure tonight we'll talk about Shador Sanders, prime time, and all that he'll potentially bring to the New York Football Giants. I'm sure we'll also talk about Cam Ward coming from the U and what he might be. In contrast to Shador Sanders, I think those are two guys at the top. You can miss me with the Jalen Milroe or Quinn Ewers talk. The Giants are going to take a quarterback, and it's going to be one of those two guys. You cannot worry about Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy. Last year is over. I mean, this year is over. But yeah, so much talk last night and into today about Bo Nix. Bo Nix was not as shiny in the beginning of the year. And Bo Nix is a product of the situation that he's in. And yes, Bo Nix coming out of Alabama, going to Auburn, where his father played, playing as a true freshman, getting all of those reps and experience under center, then transferring to Oregon, where a lot of the conversation last year about Bo Nix was about the offense he was in there. And I mean, the Giants did have a visit with him, but I think they did a visit with him and viewed him more in the Spencer Rattler category. They couldn't be further away, those two guys. But, like, the Giants took a look at him. The Giants could have drafted him. They did not want him. They did not think he was the right fit. They did not think he was the right guy. Sean Payton did, and good for the Broncos. Good for the Denver Broncos. What he's doing out there in Colorado, it's completely different than what he would have been with the New York Giants and the whole Daniel Jones mess. And the contract and the benching, and now we'll talk about that. 888-808-1019. It's not really what I wanted to talk about, but it's what I wanted to get off my chest first. We'll also talk about the Jets, right? It's just we're at this point of the season where it is over, and all we can do is project to next year because, you know what? We love the NFL. The NFL is king, and there's so much more NFL football to go. There's another month of the regular season. There's the playoffs. There's the Super Bowl. And, man, during that time, it's just like we're on the outside looking in. Not really, though, because we love the NFL. We have fantasy teams. We have parlays. We watch all of these games. We know all of these players. But, man, we're just yearning for the time
that it's this team or the Jets or the Giants. And you know what? For the Jets fans, a lot of you thought it was your time with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. I literally laughed today as I saw the trailer for his Netflix doc that's coming out. Enigma, it premieres December 17th, following his rebound from the Achilles injury. And you get a look inside of his controversial moments in career. And it made me think, like, they can't bench him. They can't bench him before that. That goes against everything. And then also, he is an all-time great. He did choose the Jets. You did give up something to get him. You got to let him finish the season. We know he's cooked. I was saying it last night, Aaron Rodgers, you can't cheat the game anymore. What I mean by that is, like, you have to actually, like, go through your fundamentals, mechanics. You can't throw off your back foot. You can't throw late. You can't put any pizzazz on it. That's how you miss a wide-open Garrett Wilson, and then the next play, you're thrown across the middle, picked by, Leonard Williams, the longest defensive tackle pick six in history. 888-808-1019. You know, all of this is connected, and what does it matter, right? You have a defensive coordinator thrusted into the head coaching position. He cannot coach. It makes Rob Saleh, makes you wish Rob Saleh was here. It actually makes you think about how bad they were with Rob Saleh, and it wasn't his fault. All the penalties, same thing. Guys fumbling the ball, guys not catching the ball. Breece Hall, Devontae Adams, it's compounded. Solomon Thomas, just a stupid horse collar at the wrong time. And as much as you were gifted the early points in that game, you just knew the Jets were going to find a way to lose, and it's a good thing that they did. I was here with Paul Sunday, and we were watching the game, and our first thoughts were, oh, the pressure's off. Typical Jets. They're balling out because now it doesn't mean anything. But you know what? It would have meant something for the fan base if they were able to win that game against Geno Smith and the Seahawks, if they were able to, I don't know, beat the Rams and go on and beat the Jaguars and, you know, stack a couple wins, because then you'd be looking at teams, right, whoever the last wild card team is that gets in with seven wins or seven losses, and you would count those losses against Bo Nix and the Broncos, against the Patriots, against the Colts, and say, what could have been? What could have been if we didn't fire Rob Saleh? What could have been if we didn't fire Joe Douglas? What could have been if Aaron Rodgers was just the Aaron Rodgers that we thought we were getting a year before? Now there's no wondering. There's no mystery. There's no thought of what could have been. It was never going to work. It was never going to happen. There's a reason the Green Bay Packers were so set on moving on from Aaron Rodgers when they did. It was just not going to materialize here. Father Time is undefeated. And I would say I have some compassion for Aaron Rodgers, but I don't. Because of his attitude, because of how smug he is, because of how condescending he's been, how much he's gone on Pat McAfee, the things he said in the media, the shots he's taken at the media, and kind of thumbed his nose at everybody else. Oh, give me your timelines. Tell me what I can't do. You weren't coming back last year. And you come back this year, if you were hurt or injured at some point earlier in the season, you should have shut it down, let Tyrod Taylor go to save the season. This is a fan base, an owner that had to watch Zach Wilson play. And you know what? At 3-9, this is worse than it was with Zach Wilson. 888-808-1019. Of course, we're going to pile on to the Jets. But I just had the thought today. I'm like, you can't bench Aaron Rodgers. He is a Hall of Famer. He's an all-time great. He's that no more. But like, if these are his last games of his career, you got to let him play him. And if he's got this Netflix doc coming out, you know how these things work, marketing, promo, it goes hand in hand. But ultimately, we're going to do the same thing we've been doing now for over a month. And I'll start with this before we say the four-letter first name, four-letter last name. I was talking about this a little bit last night because I'm on the internet too much. I've actually scaled it back a lot. But I get trolled on the internet, and being a Yankees fan, I find myself in this weird position now, right, where people can say, fifth inning, how about that fifth inning, bro? Yeah, whatever. I've got nothing to say to you, Keith McPherson, besides fifth inning. I didn't play. I didn't make an error. I didn't drop the ball. I didn't throw the ball. I didn't play. I was in there. I watched it go down like everyone else. But you know what I watched? I watched my team play in the World Series. I watched a drought end. I watched a drought that literally spanned from me being able to legally buy a beer to now. My life has completely changed between the time that the Yankees were in the World Series in 2009 to 2024. I'm happy that they got back to the World Series. I have pride in that. You're not going to shake me. As soon as we figure out what happens in this offseason, we figure out, all right, boom, pitchers and catchers, spring training, I'll be right back down there. Opening day, I'll be right back in there, and we'll be ready to ride. 888-808-1019. You're not going to shame me for being a fan of a team that won the American League pennant. You're not gonna troll me because baseball happened. That's baseball, Susan. That's not Susan's brand of baseball, but it was bad baseball at the worst time. And I don't know how long we're going to go over it, maybe forever, but something I was saying last night is like, we don't talk so much about the World Series that we lost. The talk and the focus should be about getting back to where we were. And Brian Cashman recently said so much, right? Wanting to get back to where we finished the season last year in the World Series. The New York Yankees got to feel that. They got to play. They didn't get swept. They got to play all three games in Yankee Stadium. If they maybe took some of those regular season games a little more serious, maybe they would have had home field advantage and had more games, and the series would have been flipped. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to live that out in 2025. But where I'm going is the Yankees, cha-ching, they got to feel that money tree. I remember talking about how if the Yankees did everything in their power just to get back to the World Series, they would plant a new money tree. It got planted. They sold World Series merch and tickets, and we're on TV for the world to see. The Yankees are back. The Yankees are back. The Yankees are back in the World Series. Who sent them there? Who's that bat did you watch 30 times versus Hunter Gaddis to effectively hit the home run that sent them there? Juan Soto, the generational. Yes, the generational Juan Soto. He is. They compare him to Ted Williams. And if you watched his at-bats, like I did this year, where I watched him struggle one day and I would place a bet on him the next day because I knew he wasn't going to have back-to-back days where he didn't make an impact in that batter's box. I watched the effect that he had on Oswaldo Cabrera, Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe, other guys in that clubhouse. I got to meet Juan Soto this year. I got to see it up close and personal in section 203, 103, legends everywhere. So if you're a Yankee fan who has Juan Soto fatigue, like I do as far as the sweepstake goes, like as far as the Scott Boras, the smoke screens, the negotiations, oh, here's an offer, or the Yankees are in fourth place, the Boston Red Sox are at the top, the Blue Jays, Steve Cohen will not be outbid. Yeah, I have fatigue in that regard. I'm over it. But you know what? It's only going to go on for a week or less. It's December 3rd. The winter meetings are coming up. It is not going to drag into the winter meetings. So hold on, Yankee fans. Do not turn on Juan Soto right now. Do not forget that this man put together games like just in the beginning of the season to fire you up against the Houston Astros. Clutch hits. Defense. Which that's all I'm hearing now. Well, he's not a good defender. Yeah, but he's not a terrible defender. And his defense can improve with the short porch in right field at Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. Don't forget that he just had the best season of his career in pinstripes. Don't forget that it took 15 years to get back to the World Series and Juan Soto hit the homer that sent you there. He's a dog. You don't let dogs like that walk away. Especially when you've paid Aaron Judge and you know Aaron Judge struggles in the postseason. And as much as we love Judge, he absolutely broke our hearts. Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, those guys that showed up like that, they're ready to go. You want those guys there in case they got to drag Judge to the finish line again. And maybe if they would have finished that fifth inning where we did see Judge homer that night, maybe we would have went back to L.A. and Judge would have powered us through. We'll never know, but we have plenty more seasons of Aaron Judge being the captain, plenty more seasons of Aaron Judge playing baseball with the Yankees. He should be playing where he's batting right behind Juan Soto. 888-808-1019. You have heard nothing to tell you that the Yankees are out. If you've watched Hot Stove the last couple days, as a Yankee fan, you should feel like you're in. So don't get that fatigue feeling like, oh, he's not that good. Oh, they're inflating this guy. He's overrated. He's not worth this. I don't think he's getting $700 million. Shohei Ohtani, the unicorn, the DH and ace, I understood the breakdown of his contract getting $700 million, 70 a year, but it's not 70 a year. It's 46.06. That's the AAV that Major League Baseball came up with, and the Players Association came up with it a little bit less, around $43 million a year and some change. I think Scott Boras and Juan Soto are out to top that, so $47 million a year could get it done. Juan Soto is 26. I don't think his contract's going to hit 15 years. There's going to be opt-outs. I think it's a 14-year contract with multiple opt-outs. I think that the Yankees are able to match any contract if they wish, but there's also a thought in my head that the Yankees may decide, hey, we have some leverage. Don't you want to be here? Didn't you enjoy that here? Didn't your parents enjoy that here? Isn't your uncle a diehard Yankee fan that we've all seen the picture of when you came to Yankee Stadium years ago as a National and he pulled up in Yankee pinstripes with a sign that said, yo soy Yankee fan, just here to support Juan Soto. Those Dominican flags in right field. Juan Soto. The loudest roll call. Like, there is something to that. There is something to winning. Wanting to win. The Boston Red Sox, they don't just go to the postseason every year anymore. They're not built to win anymore. I don't know about their ownership anymore and what they're actually trying to do. The Mets had a great year, but are they going to be able to duplicate that every year now? The target's certainly going to be on their back. They're certainly going to be looked at as a contender right away, and they have holes to fill. And just miss me with the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays right now are marketing Kendrick Lamar on Father's Day performing in Toronto. It just doesn't make too much sense with the whole Drake 6 thing. Anyway, Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got to talk to you about Juan Soto and this Juan Soto fatigue and now people slandering Juan Soto and who he is. That's $650, $670 million over 14 years will make itself back in merch and sales, and if it's the Yankees and they go to multiple World Series with Juan Soto, forget about it. 888-808-1019. We'll obviously talk Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We'll obviously talk about Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock, the Giants. We'll obviously talk all around everything from the golden at-bat rule to Aziz Alshaier, his three-game suspension, the GM speaking out on it, the head coach speaking out on it, and what people are saying now after the fact with the hit that he put on Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot to unpack. The Knicks play tonight. In about 13 minutes, they'll be on. NBA Cup game. I think they should try to win the NBA Cup. I can't put down the cup. I can't put down the cup.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, I'm ready. Another 5 hour KM to AM on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Whatever you guys want to talk about, man, I'll set the table, pull up a chair, take something from the table, we'll talk about it. Everything from the Jets, Giants, Juan Soto, NFL, MLB. Let's start with Jack in Brooklyn, New York. Jack, you got it.
How you doing? Big fan, Keith. Like your show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Hello?
Thank you. No problem. Thanks for calling
in. I just have a couple of, no problem. My pleasure. I just have a couple of issues with having to sign Soto. You think that if the Yankees sign Soto, that means they're not going to go after pitching and a bunch of other weaknesses that
we have, sir.
Because they're going to be strapped for cash, or do you think they're going to spend anyway?
No, sir. Jack Curry talked about there being leeway to do other things. When they had the meeting in California, supposedly Juan Soto wanted to know about the farm system and other moves that were going to be made, and how Steinbrenner pretty much told him, we're not going to stop at just signing you. And the way I honestly feel about it in my heart of hearts is them getting to taste the World Series and being embarrassed in that World Series, they know it's time to push their chips all the way in. Hal Steinbrenner also said, we have more financial flexibility than ever. I don't know how much money they actually made off that World Series. I just say it's a money tree. It's a new money tree that they haven't had in 15 years. And I mean, if you go from 2009 World Series to the 2024 World Series, being in it, what those numbers are just from the ticket sales. You know, I think that they're in a position where they're not so much worried about the luxury tax. Hal even said, I know what I said in the past about it not being feasible or financially sustainable, but he also said, I could do whatever I want to do. They have, So much money coming off the books with players like Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Clay Holmes, Alex Verdugo. You know, Josh Donaldson made $6 million last year. Like, they have the flexibility to sign Juan Soto, and that's what I keep putting out the AAV. People act like Juan Soto's about to get $70 million a year. Otani didn't get $70 million a year. The $47 to $50 million a year max that Juan Soto is going to get is not too rich for the Yankees' blood. They can sign a Christian Walker, but I think everything is pointing to a trade for Cody Bellinger. They also need to get another pitcher, so I already know that they're in on Walker Buehler, Corbin Burns, Max Fried. I am still obsessing over Tanner Scott because I thought he could have been a trade target this past season, and now he's available. I think that they need to go get a Tanner Scott. I feel like the Yankees know that the fan base won't accept it, and it won't be good because they have so many holes to just stop at signing Juan Soto and not do anything else.
All right, I appreciate your I really agree with that. I'm happy to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Jack. That's just my opinion, and there's a ton of opinions out there. There's a ton of people talking out there. There's a ton of people that are telling you that the Yankees offer came in at $550 and they're not going to go any higher. You know what? The Yankees have been doing this for years. They're smart. They're not going to bid against themselves. I was saying last night, how many times do you have to up your offer? Five, four. Like you don't have to do that. You put in an offer, you up it, and then you let the rest play out. And I honestly think, all we're hearing about the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets, what's in common with all three of those teams besides them being Major League Baseball teams? They are rivals of the New York Yankees. Two in division, one in town. So if you want to drive the Yankees' price up, if the Yankees are saying they're all in and they're committed to get this player, how do you squeeze that out of them? How do you squeeze that next offer out of them? You have to strike some fear into them and make them think about Juan Soto coming to Yankee Stadium in a Red Sox uniform or going across the border to Toronto and Juan Soto being over there. I don't think he wants to play for the Blue Jays at all. I don't think anybody does. I don't think he wants to be a Boston Red Sox. Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, all that. Manny Ramirez, Rafael Devers, all that is well and good. Even Aroldis Chapman, come on down. Are they about to pay Chapman $10 million? I'm not even going to hate on Chapman. It's so far in the rear view what he did as a Yankee. He was solid the last couple years. It is what I'm just going to leave that alone. But what I'm saying is these are smoke screens. This is how the negotiations go. This is how this is all played to make the New York Yankees flinch. And I don't think they're flinching because they've been doing this for a long time. 888-808-1019. I think that they have Scott Boras's bat phone. They can hit his direct line. They can get straight to his lair in California when they need to. They also know that the winter meetings are coming up in Dallas. Everybody will be face-to-face. I think that the Yankees know that Juan Soto himself is not going to make a move to leave and go to the unknown. He's never played for the Red Sox. He's never played for the Mets. He's never played for the Blue Jays. I don't think he's going to leave to go to the unknown without doubling back and checking with Hal Steinbrenner. You guys know the number. Bobby's in Rutherford. Bobby, you're on the Fan. Bobby! Ah, Bobby. Come on, Bobby. All right, Bobby. Ryan is in Edgewater, New Jersey. You got it, Ryan. Go for it.
Keith, what's going on, man?
You know, talking the same Juan Soto talk I've been talking, but here we are. It's the last of days, the final countdown, the hourglass. That sand is running out.
Hey, first off, love your show. Love your story. Been following you for a while. I just want to kind of vent two things about baseball, Yankees and Soto. Mm-hmm. First is about the Mets. I am so sick of the Mets as a Yankees fan. Before, I never cared about them. Now, I cannot take them anymore. The whole rant about records since June 1st, I cannot stand it. The Mets cannot have it both ways. They can't try to act like some darling and then claim they're so good because they have the best record since June 1st. If that's the case, then guess what? The Yankees stink, and the Yankees are the darling because they have the 13th best record since June 1st or something like that. So, Mets, pick what you want to be. Whether you're the richest owner and you're not a darling and you're the heavyweight and you've the highest payrolls in the MLB, or you're some underdog no-name team that no one cares about and you're some awesome story. And guess what? If Juan Soto goes to the Mets, guess what the Mets are messing with? This season had a lot of vibes for the Mets.
It had Grimace. It had the Hawk Tua thing. It had whatever. You bring Soto, you're messing with the Mets juju in that clubhouse, and that's what this season felt like for them. Now, quick on the Yankees. You know, big Yankees fan, love the Yankees. We need Soto. And what I think the strategy should be for the Yankees is, look, bloat the top of your lineup. Go heavy at Judge, which you already have. You add Soto. You have Stanton. And try to add one more piece. You can hit those guys 1, 2, 3, and 4. But at least you know that those are 4 guaranteed rock-solid things. And guess what? The other 5 guys, I do not even care who we throw out there. Because guess what? Those 5 guys, whether it's minor league guys coming out of nowhere, giving some guy a shot that we don't know who's good, is better than what we had last year. And I think what you know about the Yankees and what we've seen in this era of baseball, the guys that you can count on that are rock solid guaranteed stars are way more valuable than the guys that you think those guys are good, but they could disappear. Hence, Donaldson, hence, Rizzo, hence, LeMahieu, hence, Urshela, hence basically every single Yankee except Stanton and Judge in the past, like, 6 years.
A Judge disappeared, so, yeah. Go on.
Right, but even Judge disappeared, but you can count on Aaron Judge, you know, to an extent. But I'm saying this team could be really lethal if you have 4 studs. You basically hit a 1, 2, 3, 4, and then maybe a Dominguez comes out of nowhere this year. Maybe Spencer Jones, maybe another guy from the minors. Give these younger guys who develop with this new era of baseball an opportunity, invest in stars at the top, and maybe we can become a Dodgers. Maybe we can run into like a, whoever the catcher is and some of these other
Will
guys
Smith?
That have kind of like developed for them. Yeah. Maybe we find our guy, but
Austin Wells.
That is a right.
Austin
but I'm
Wells
saying
is
that
be
is
better.
That is a better method than paying a Bregman, paying a Walker.
They're not going to pay Bregman.
Paying a
And I just keep thinking I want Christian Walker. I wanted him at the trade deadline, but I keep thinking the Cody Bellinger. The writing has been on the wall for Cody Bellinger the last couple years. Clay Bellinger ties that swing in Yankee Stadium. I think they're going to try and make that happen this year. Add another MVP to the mix, former MVP.
I would love Christian Walker as well. And when I say get Soto and another bat, that's the guy that I would go for because it just doesn't feel right not having a good first baseman as, you know, being the Yankees.
Yeah.
And Walker seems to me that guy that you can get in a short-term deal, invest the money into.
But Bellinger also can play center field, and I think that they really are going to make an effort to not have Judge play as many games in center field moving forward.
Right, but I just love the idea of get your star. We know Judge and Soto are guaranteed locks to be superstars, and go get another guy, and then give some new guys opportunities. That's going to be enough to carry you in the regular season. And this is a weird bubble that the Yankees are in right now, where you look around, there is no threat. There is no major threat to the Yankees getting to the World Series. And I don't think we're better than the Dodgers. But maybe we can get lucky. It's 7 games.
They always end up getting hurt. They always end up getting hurt. And this World Series could have gone a lot differently from game one on. I still am not bowing to the almighty Dodgers. Like they did a lot of things good, but at the same time, the Yankees did a lot of things bad and aided them. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Before you go, Paulie, I know Ryan said something that ruffled your Mets feathers. That's my thing with Juan Soto, right? When you see a guy that you trade for and you get basically a year as a test drive and you see, oh, the pinstripes aren't heavy for this dude. This guy doesn't break stride. This guy didn't. He handles the media. He is receptive to the fans to the point where in game he's turning around, whooping it up with the fans. Like, talk about a guy that the pressure, there is no pressure. Talk about a guy that the bright lights are not bright at all. Like Juan Soto was made for it. When you see a guy like that, right? It's not like a Sonny Gray. It's not like a Joey Gallo. You know what I'm saying? It's not like some of these other guys that have come here and failed. That's a guy that you do everything to keep in your organization. Go ahead, Paulie.
Well, 2 things. One, I mean, that's just a Yankees fan coping with the fact that they might lose Soto. The jealousy was there.
I guess a copium. I got it. I'm in the copium tonight.
Second off, Ken Rosenthal just put out a tweet that said Juan Soto bidding reaches $600 million. Process of eliminating teams are underway. Scott Boras, and this is a quote, he's begun the process of eliminating teams. Juan is a very methodical thinker, so we'll see, but I don't think anything is imminent in the near future. So $600 million, that is the floor for the contract for Juan Soto that he will get. And if you are a Yankee fan, and if you were listening to Randy Miller, who was with Ricky Ricardo last Saturday, he said the Yankees bid will be in the $550 million range. That is their top.
We're watching Hot Stove, bro. Michael Kay and Jack Curry are saying that the Yankees know what water they're swimming in. They know they're not swimming in $550 million waters. So what are we talking about?
I get that, and I understand that.
We all have calculators in our phones. We can do it's simple math. The AAV, the years, it's just pick a that you don't even have that many numbers to pick from for years. He's 26 years old. The contract, I don't think it's going to be an 11-year contract for a 26-year-old guy. I don't think it's going to be 12. I think it's Juan Soto that you're trying to lock up for the rest of his playing career, and guys play till they're 38, 39,
I think it's a
40.
I agree with that.
Nelson Cruz still DHing not too long ago at 41. Now that's different because he was on one-year deals. But if you're locking Juan Soto up, you're locking him up till he's like 39.
I agree. I think it's a 15-year deal.
Maybe 40.
I think it's 15 years.
I think 15 is even stretching it. And I think it gets to 15 maybe in the final hours. Like, that might be what gets it done. The Yankees don't have to get there today.
I think the question is, if Steve Cohen or if, you know, people who all run Fenway Sports, if they're like 15 years, $50 million, and he goes back to Hal with that, what does Hal do? That's the question I have, because that's the one thing.
15 years, $50
million? Yes. What does Hal do with that? I think that's what it's coming at. That's what it's going to be. The Yankees are not going to offer him the highest paid. So I do agree that I think Soto's going to get offered the most money from the Mets or the Red Sox. I think that's clear. I do think he will give the Yankees the respect to go back to match, though. And what does Hal do if it is an absurd 15-50?
He says, do you want to be a Yankee? Do you want to be here? We're not going any further than this. You'll make your money with Under Armour. You'll make your money with Celsius. You'll make your money with all these other brands and sponsors that understand the value of being a New York Yankee. Like, we don't have to go to 15 years and have you till you're 41. We don't have to go to $50 million and pay you $10 million a year more than Judge, who was the last right fielder to get the big contract at $40 million. Is Juan Soto worth $10 million a year more than Aaron Judge? Are we jumping in 2 years from $40 million AAV to $50 million AAV? I don't know, man. I just think that's a leap. I think that's a huge leap for a guy that, like, I understand his worth and his value, but when you break it down to his batting average, when you break it down to his defensive metrics, he ain't better in right field than Judge was as MVP in 2022.
I agree with that. I think he wants to be the highest paid player ever in the history of the sport.
Yeah, I want to be the highest paid radio person ever. It doesn't matter. It's what the market dictates, too.
I think
two to tango.
I think two teams specifically are willing to make that deal.
No, but they don't have to, because they also, again, are not going to bid against themselves. So if today, with about a week to go in this race, it just now broke 600, today it broke 600. Okay, thanks for the update, Ken. We know it's not going to be under 600. We've been expecting it to be between 600 and 700 million. Now, to say 50 million a year as the AAV times 15 to get 750, rubbish. That's too much. That's too much. We don't need, the market does not need. So then what happens? Well, how much money is Anthony Santander making? David is in Wanacue. David, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? Big fan, especially on TikTok. I love watching you.
Appreciate it.
I used to listen to you late at night. So this is, I like this time slot a lot better.
Yeah, it's a little earlier.
Yeah, definitely. So my concern with the Juan Soto ordeal, like, in the amount of money that is being proposed to this man. Hypothetically speaking, if you were like GM of the Yanks, if you can put yourself in those shoes, what would you do with that money if we don't get Juan Soto? You probably said it earlier, but I just tuned in not too long ago.
I haven't explored so much of a plan B, because plan A is to sign Juan Soto, and I'm not. There is no plan B for me. Plan A is to bring this guy back. But, you know, I text Cashman a couple ideas, and he didn't hit me back. Just kidding. Like, you think Cashman doesn't have a backup plan and another plan? And I heard the case, they're talking about it today. That, like that's what Brian Cashman does as far as, like, making trades and wheeling and dealing and figuring out which young guys to take a chance on and who to trade for. Like, if they actually don't re-sign Juan Soto, we move. If they don't re-sign Juan Soto, oh, now we're playing a way different game as a team that just won the American League and has to get back to the World Series, has like 4 or 5 holes to fill. You go about filling those holes and not necessarily spending all of the money that you would have spent on Juan Soto. They don't need to spend $700 million in this offseason, but it does give you an opportunity to, you know, explore some other things. Maybe then all of a sudden you do get Christian Walker, you do get Corbin Burnes, you do get Tanner Scott, where you might not have been able to do that with just, you know, going after Juan Soto. But expect some trades. Caleb Durbin's name has been floated on Hot Stove, and that's not by coincidence. Jason Dominguez is going to be expected to contribute as an outfielder. That's not by coincidence. Jazz Chisholm is someone with versatility who played third base, could play second base. I think that, like, Juan Soto is plan A, and you stick to plan A. You don't even think about plan B until you have to. But Brian Cashman has to, as the general manager of the New York Yankees, and I'm sure he has some things in motion where if the Yankees do miss out on Juan Soto in the next week, all of a sudden you'll see the other dominoes start to fall. And I don't think Yankee fans are going to be that upset. I think we'll get over it, but then we'll understand that, like, this is a team. Juan Soto didn't win us the World Series last year. But at the same time, the team that did win the World Series, they went out and spent over $1 billion in the offseason. They went out and got Tyler Glasnow in a trade. They went out and signed Teoscar Hernandez on top of getting Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto. And all of those guys played a factor, minus Glasnow. All of those guys played a factor in them winning the World Series. Spend. It worked.
And is there one thing I can also bring up? Something about Judge?
Yeah.
All right. Regular season, he's champ. He is a god amongst men when he plays on that field. But when it comes to the playoffs, do you think he's going to get that Clayton Kershaw look if he doesn't get that signature moment?
Clayton Kershaw is coming back for one more round. Clayton Kershaw was having a party, man. He said, I didn't do anything, but it feels so good. It's different because Clayton Kershaw is a starting pitcher, and he's had plenty of duds. But he's got 2 World Series rings now. And with Judge, I don't think he's going to get that rep. I think with Judge, it's just going to be like, this. So during this season, I'm like, this is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. Like, up close, I'm like, I've seen 100 of Judge's homers, like, in person. I'm like, this is the best baseball player I've seen. I wasn't staying up at night to watch Ken Griffey Jr. I wasn't staying up at night to watch Barry Bonds. I was a kid. As a grown man, this is the best baseball player, pound for pound, numbers-wise, day in and day out, that I've seen. What will happen with Judge if he continues to fold in the postseason is they will be able to always throw out his, you know, the number was 211, right? Oh, his batting average in October is 211. It's lower now. I think it's under 200 now after this past postseason. That will always be used against him. But here's what I also feel, David. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019 before we go to break here. I've expressed this as well. He's gotten to the top of the mountain. He got to the World Series. There's nowhere further for you to go. There's nowhere higher for you to climb. So failing in the World Series, especially at the level that he failed, right? Dropping that pop-up, like, can I get a golden error rule? Like, can we have a golden error rule where if an egregious error, like, hey, this is Aaron Judge in center field. He hasn't had an error in center field all year. Let me get a mulligan. Let me get a redo on that, Rob Manfred. Let's restart that whole inning. Kike Hernandez, go back to first base. Like, I feel like this offseason, Aaron Judge has nothing to fear. You've already failed at the highest level in front of the whole world. Everybody saw you strike out a bunch of times, drop a pop-up. What else is there? There's no level beyond the World Series. There isn't a Galaxy Series for you to fail in. You made it to the World Series. You failed there. Come back into the postseason next year. Play free. No sweat off your back. No pressure. Nothing to worry about. And get it done. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm here. I was trying to get the remote, Paulie. I'm trying to put the Knicks game on. I'm in here watching Tennessee Volunteers. I'm trying to watch the Knicks. There we go. Okay, here we are. 17-14. The Knicks lead the Magic in Madison Square Garden. Under 5 minutes to play in the first quarter now. The, what is it, the Emirates Cup? I couldn't care less about it. I can't wait till it actually ends. I thought it was hilarious. LeBron recently was quoted saying these games don't matter, and everybody went back to last year, the first ever inaugural cup, NBA Cup, where he's spraying champagne and got the goggles on after the Lakers won. Now, a year later, it doesn't matter. I think it matters for the Knicks. I think that this would be a good checkpoint for this new Knicks team. I think this would be a good checkpoint for the fan base. I think this would be just a small accomplishment. Obviously, they're not going to hang the banner, but it's a test. They've been good so far in it. I think they had good odds in it. Win this game tonight, continue to advance and do your thing. So far, Carl Anthony Towns is out there. Like, we'll talk about the Knicks at some point tonight. I'm definitely like a Knicks hater, but I was more of a Knicks hater when it was the thought of Dante DiVincenzo being on the team with the four Villanova players. Like, it's hard for me to hate on Cat. I'm a Jersey guy. It's hard for me to hate on Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, another Jersey guy. Just like, I don't know. They're more likable than I expected, and they score points. I guess I still don't like Mikal Bridges, but like, Mikal Bridges has been struggling. I know he had the other, you know, the game the other night, he hit seven threes. But anyway, we'll get to it. 888-808-1019. I thought it was interesting today on Baseball Night in New York. Sorry, I got to mute my phone. I just saw Blake Snell in the Dodgers uniform talking about, you know, being a Dodger. I'll read that quote before I get to the other quote. He said, you know, he said that him and his wife, Haley, or maybe his girl, I don't know, they've wanted to live in L.A. for a while. Sure, don't we all want to live in the City of Angels, beautiful California? They've wanted to live there for a while. And he said, it's just something you want to be a part of. Look at the first three hitters in the lineup. It's tough to go against. So to be on the other side and know they're going to be hitting for me, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Bro, that's can't beat them, join them. You were with the San Francisco Giants going against them this year. You pitched, like, come on, bro. You pitched for the Padres going against them. So can't beat them, join them. Yeah, you know, I was looking at their lineup for the last couple years, and I just couldn't wait to be a Dodger. 888-808-1019. It is what it is. Scott Boras getting that deal done. Scott Boras also getting the Frankie Montas deal done. Start reading the tea leaves here, folks. Scott Boras learned from last year, where it took a while for the Boras 5 to get signed. And I think they all had negative remarks and comments. I mean, Jordan Montgomery left. Where this year, Scott Boras is standing on business. He's about his business. He's got the big fish in the market, and he's not going to hold up the market. He's getting a couple little guys done, starting pitchers done. And in a week or less, Juan Soto will be signed. So Andy Martino came out and said, everyone I talk to who's involved in this at any level believes that the news will drop this week. Now, I originally last week said that it would be done by the 6th, but then I extended my window to the 10th just to give it, like, because I'm like, I don't know if they're going to drop that news on a Friday night. I hope that I'm on. I mean, I am on Friday, same time slot, KM to AM, 5 hour, 7 to 12. So it'd be cool if it was the 6th. But I extended it to like that weekend into next week. The winter meetings start Sunday, December 8th and go to Thursday, December 12th in Dallas. But they're not going to hold up the line. It's bad for business. It's bad for everybody else. You heard me before screaming about if Juan Soto is getting $50 million a year as a right fielder, what is Anthony Santander going to make after the best year of his career, a switch hitter that also hit 40 homers? Like, there is a market here. There are parameters here. Matt is here from Red Bank, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Another Jersey guy on the phone here.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I got to say, I love how many phone calls you take. It's old school WFAN. It's the way it should be on you know, during all the shows. I know you don't have control over that, but I really appreciate being able to
call. I don't have a co-host, so I'm like, when I get tired of hearing myself ramble, I'm like, let me bring somebody else in.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. There's a lot of people who want to talk sports around this town, so I appreciate you giving them the platform to do so. What I got to say about Juan Soto and the Yankees, the Yankees are not going to get Juan Soto. And the reason the Yankees aren't going to get Juan Soto is because this is not the same Yankees as 20 years ago. I'm not going to, you know, go over the numbers, but the numbers are out there. If you look how much money the Yankees reinvest into their lineup compared to the amount of revenue they get, it's not what it used to be. They used to put half of their revenue back into the lineup. They don't do that anymore. So even though they might be comparable to other teams in the league, the Yankees are spending money like other teams in the league. The Yankees make more money than almost every team in the league, probably every team. Maybe the Dodgers are up there. So, I mean, I know there's a new owner, but I remember when if there was a guy out there and he was available and all he wanted to do was get paid and play for the Yankees, that's what happened. And that doesn't happen anymore. I think that the bloom has come off the rose a little bit when it comes to, you get to play for the Yankees, the pinstripes, the tradition and everything. You know, it's a new time in this world.
Just went back to the World Series?
I'm not saying they're
Judge
they're
just
not,
won the MVP. Luis Gil just won Rookie of the Year. You know, they made more money this year than they have in any other year. Thanks for the call, Matt. I just have to disagree before we go to break. I know I have in my notes somewhere the graphic that put the Yankees somewhere around 17 or 18 out of all 30 Major League Baseball teams as far as their revenue versus their payroll. One, you do not know how much. Nobody knows how much money they actually make, bro. You don't know. A spot rack don't know. Rob Manfred don't know. The Yankees know. But like just a quick Google search of Yankees revenue versus payroll. The New York Yankees revenue is much higher than their payroll. In 2023, the Yankees revenue was $720 million. In 2023, the 82-80 season, the worst season of our young lives, the worst season most Yankee fans under 35, 30, like my age range can remember, like that season where Judge was hurt and we sucked, they still made $720 million. Get me the new numbers for what they made in this World Series year. The payroll in 2024, obviously the following year, was $309 million. The second highest in Major League Baseball. The Yankees ranked 12th in percentage of payroll to revenue. This is coming from Google. I think there was another graphic that they just had the middle of the pack. 12th, 17th, whatever. What I'll say is I heard from Hal's mouth. I got to go back and get those notes from a couple weeks ago when Hal spoke at the owners meeting. He basically told y'all it doesn't matter what I said in the past. It doesn't matter what we did in the past. And you know what's different? We can't say that the Yankees don't do this anymore. They want a Judge, they got him. They wanted Cole, they got him. If there is a guy that they want, they can always return to using their superpower, which is their spending power, and being the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. I've got some guests coming up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.